Well, bring it
welcome all you lifers.
Kicked off. If you just missed my immaculate intro, well, we just started recording, so we're going to go ahead and jump into this. Two gloves and a dub. Talking about the UFC fights from last night. Mikey, I know you didn't get to see most of it, but let's start from the top and the bottom. Man. I think you saw the main event. So, what did you think about Anthony Smith and Rackett?
Can I go first?
Wow.
Lindell, go ahead.
Cut him off, man.
Black privilege. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, first of all, I want to say rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. Gone way too soon.
Legend.
Wonderful actor, and by all accounts, a wonderful person. So rest in peace, King T'Challa. To the other negative part of 2020, Anthony Smith. Why he's headlining a UFC card at this stage is beyond me. He has all.
John Jones vacated.
I understand that, but by all he has all the talent in the world, and he got destroyed by a baby dinosaur in Glover Teixeira. I know Glover is capable of doing that, but he gets destroyed by Glover Teixeira. If I'm the UFC, he's not headlining a card for me. And then he puts in this, I wouldn't say lack of effort, but this showing on this card after the previous. All the other fights on this card were outstanding, and then we have this as a main event to just leave a bad taste in our mouth.
I blame Rockets, if we're going to be honest. He looked very good, but he coasted, absolutely coasted. What do you got to say, Tony?
I was going to say, I feel like it was less of a headline for Smith and more so to put Rockets over. Because he needs that big name on his list in order to be a contender. And I believe most of us, I won't say that we think like Anthony Smith's out the door or anything like that, but at the same time, like, if Rocek beat him, it would make him a bigger star. I feel like we already knew what the cap for Anthony Smith was.
Of course. And he's honestly only 32 with 49 fights. So I looked at it crazy. As 49 fights and 14 fights in Rockets, and I was just like, I made a last-second decision. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to actually switch to Rockets. And I was right.
Yeah, but, I picked Rockets as well.
I still think he should go back to middleweight. And he thinks that too.
Yeah. I know Rockets? He said he's got some big decisions. No, Smith. Smith said he's got some big decisions to make.
I was saying, Rockets is a massive 205er.
No. That's what when I saw them at weigh-ins, and then even ridiculous. Like when they were doing stay downs, I was like, how fucking big? Because like Smith isn't small. So like, how fucking big is Rockets? Or how are we saying it? Rockets?
R-A-K-I-C. Rockets.
You're casual.
I'm just trying to make sure I said it right. But when I saw him at the weigh-ins, it was crazy because I was like, man, he's making Smith look small, and you don't really make Smith look small.
Right.
But
another point I want to make is that this is just coming from a casual experience perspective. He needs to retire Return of the Mac, because now when I hear Return of the Mac, I'm going to picture Anthony Smith just getting his teeth knocked out. So,
I think he can make a run at 85. I think he's got plenty of experience. He's well-rounded. But you got to think about it like this. Training camps during COVID have to be completely different.
He took
the Glover fight. I wouldn't say like short notice. But I've noticed that, like, COVID fights are essentially like, this guy's fighting in 2-3 weeks. You know, they just sign a contract and they go. It's kind of weird. But he just had that home burglary, that weird encounter, crazy.
That burglary.
I don't think that you just kind of get over that. I feel like it's going to sit in your brain. Your family's going to think about it. You know, it can happen again, whatever. But I don't think that that's good towards the mental aspect of, like, he had to fight freaking Glover. And Glover showed up. More than showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know how old he is. I know he might be creeping up on his years, but Glover's very talented as well. Great boxer. Good jiu-jitsu, black belt. So it just showed us more about what Rockets, his skill set, his power, his raw athleticism. But, dude, I mean, I don't think he could have finished Smith, but he was putting himself in positions too. And
I think he had chances to finish Smith, but it wasn't a scenario where he had hurt Smith so bad that he could guarantee the finish. Like, he'd be in a position to where maybe if he went more aggressive, he could have finished Smith. But at the same time, there was a point where like he hit him and he fucking like was like, on spaghetti legs. Outside of the double leg kick, he hit him with it in the early on and put him down, and then he got into a dominant position. But that still isn't a rock.
Little ripping.
Yeah, they were beautiful. To be honest,
that was the really boring fight. I would watch it again.
Well, the last two, three fights the last few fights were decisions. They started off really hot, and then like the last six fights. Were
yeah,
decisions.
But in general, once you get to the upper echelon, though, those are the ones that go to decision. Obviously.
True.
Because like, those are the best. When the best guys are fighting each other, it's not going to be easy finishes.
Well, Main and Co-Main was really just a shutout, you know, from both of the winners.
100%. Both the Co-Main and the Main event only landed, I think Smith landed 20 strikes, Robbie landed 17 strikes. Out of two, you know, three round fights, like that's nothing.
That's crazy.
Like it's ridiculous.
You can keep someone strike count under 25.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's wild. Minutes.
I'd cry, man.
Crazy. Come on, with Robbie.
Not that, yeah, and not that they weren't throwing. It's
Neil
just a lot of
so
shit.
Good.
Neil, yeah, he did. I was rooting for Robbie, but I had Neil. Like, if anyone was watching the last two Neil Magny fights, like, you know Neil Magny right now. He is hitting his peak and his stride, and, like, everything is coming together for him. His wrestling, comboing, everything together, flowing, distance, boxing, everything. And you can hate him if you want to. You can hate him, and, you know, because I know I saw a few people complaining that he didn't, like, you know, be more aggressive sometimes with Robbie, even though Robbie wasn't being able to land like he wanted to and stuff like that, but like he looked fantastic. Like he looked better than Rochick versus Smith, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely,
For sure.
Yeah,
like I was enjoying watching Neil, you know, pick Robbie apart and nullifying all of Robbie's knockout power, right? Because that's like his biggest thing. He's explosive, and he does slow down as the fight goes on and becomes sluggish. And that was a perfect game plan for Neil. You know, tire him out in the cage, put him on the ground, make him have to get back up. And Neil did a really good job of holding Robbie down when he needed to. It's very hard to hold somebody down in general, but to hold Robbie Lawler down is also very hard.
Colby, like, who's done that?
He has great interest. Well,
and Neil did it very well.
Hendricks is the only person I think that really kept him down.
The first or the second?
No, I think it was the first one.
To piggyback off of what Alon said, like with the game plan, like he banked those first two rounds with just wrestling and just kind of outsmarting. I don't want to say outsmarting Robbie, but just out fighting him. And then that third round, he had Robbie back into a corner, and Robbie had to go for the knockout. And then that's when Neil showed off, you know, really excellent boxing and just timing, just picking him apart. Like he defeated Robbie in every way possible.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm done.
The only caveat I would have, obviously, is Robbie did take the fight on short notice if you wanted to be that guy that will give an excuse for someone.
Yeah, where do they go from here? I mean, let's just play with the co-main and the main event. Where do they go matchup-wise? And
Neil's got to get a top 10 this time for sure. Because I think Robbie
Jeff
was
Neil?
13. Jeff Neil, maybe? I think Neil was 14, right?
Too low?
Yeah, too low. I'll go Edwards Magny. Is that too much?
Edwards is up there.
I know Edwards wants, and Edwards wants somebody higher than him, but nobody's gonna fight Edwards. Let's be honest.
Well, I mean, Woodley and Colby are booked up. Who else is above? I mean, maybe Wonderboy.
Masvidal's not fighting Leon.
That honestly, that's where it should. That's what it should be.
I think Masvidal only wants money fights, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like he's where he's at right now, where he feels like his pace goes at. I don't know that Edwards is there. Now, Edwards would bring the heat to that fight because they have that rivalry in the backstage brawl. No, I mean, just because, like, we have the clips of them, you know, him hitting him in the backstage and stuff like that. Three-piece and so on. Right, that's what I'm saying.
What about Jeff Neal and Neil Magny?
That's what I said.
I mean, I know everybody's more so worried that, you know, want to make sure Jeff Neal's okay because he had it rough with the COVID.
Good point.
I don't know. Maybe the winner of Nico and Donald Cerrone.
For Magny?
Yeah.
I feel like, is it rude to say I feel like Magny's higher than that?
No, I think Magny would destroy either one of them.
What about Luka?
I'm gonna pull up the rankings real quick. See who's the top.
That's like Nico. Nico's on the streak right now, isn't he? Oh my bad. He just lost to what's his name?
He got his eye blowed out.
Never mind.
I think.
All right. Well, to wait, top 10, or you want to do top 10 or top 15?
10.
All right, top 10. Oh shit! Come back to answer me now. Oh no. Sorry, I went back.
I don't know what.
I got that thing where you can go back on the side of my mouse. If you know what I'm talking about with how mouse are, you can have like side clicks on your mouse that can take you back or make you go forward. All right, besides all that, the top 10, obviously Kamaru Usman's champion. Number one is Gilbert Burns. Number two is Colby Covington. Obviously, Gilbert's already matched up with Kamaru. Colby's matched up with Tyron. Leon's number three. Jorge's number four. Stephen Thompson's number six. Now, I really could see a Thompson Magny. Thompson, boy, yeah. Because like they're both like so neutralizers, and I'm sure the UFC would rather have them cancel each other out than have them cancel other guys. You have Maya at seven. Obviously, Maya's already beat Magny, right? But obviously, Maya's on a downslope, so maybe they could run it back. I know Chiesa said he would fight Magny on the announcing.
I like that.
Yeah, Chiesa's like, I know where I'm ranked at. I know where he's ranked at. I'm not calling him out. But at the same time, he just looked fantastic. He's on a 3-fight win streak. I'm on a 3-fight win streak. And I know I'm ranked higher than him, and I should be calling out higher-ranked guys. But it would be an honor to fight somebody like that because he respects the Magny's game. Nine is Dos Anjos, but he dropped back down to lightweight, and then 10 is Luque.
Oh,
but Chiesa kind of politely called him out, not calling him out, even though obviously, like I said, he's ranked higher. But I do appreciate that kind of respect because a lot of guys, Charles Oliveira, he did an interview on, I want to say maybe it was Canal Combat. And he's saying it's so hard to get top 10 guys, or maybe it was either top 10 or top 5, to get anyone to fight you because they keep you locked out. So, like, they'll fight each other or something like that, but they won't fight anybody outside of it. And so you can never break in. So to have the ranked 8 welterweight be able to call you out, that's a big
up on his side. It's going to be a wrestling and grappling clinic.
100%. I would say this: if Chiesa couldn't get him down, I definitely see Magny picking him apart.
Yeah, just on the he has the length and the height reach,
right? And his boxing has just come together so well lately.
Jabs and crosses, that's all I need to throw.
100%.
What about Anthony Smith?
Where is he going? Anthony Smith. Okay, so. If he stays at light heavyweight, or if he drops down to middleweight, which top 10 do you want?
Let's do both. All
right. So, and I guess, all right. First off, since we just didn't know Magny, should we go ahead and do Robbie Lawler?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. With Robbie Lawler, we'll do the bottom half of the top 10. So Jeff Neal is 11. They were already booked to fight each other before. You could do that. And maybe they weren't booked, but they were definitely rumored to be fighting each other. You got 12. You got Nate Diaz. Who wouldn't want to see Robbie Lawler versus Nate Diaz?
That'd be an awesome fight.
I don't want to see Robbie.
But that's just you.
They don't fight.
I promise you. You put those two faces side by side, get Nick in Nate's corner. It's a fucking madness. Obviously, he just lost to Neil Magny, who's below him currently, and then you have Anthony Pettis at 15. A lot of people have said Robbie and Anthony Pettis should fight. You know, they're both former champions, kind of at the twilight of their careers.
I don't mind that fight either.
The one fight I do want, personally, and I know some people won't like it, is Mike Perry and Robbie Lawler. Mike needs to fight. I feel like Lawler needs to get somebody who will brawl with him, and though Mike Perry did wrestle Mickey Gall to win his last fight, which is crazy to say, I think Mike Perry would definitely brawl with Robbie Lawler.
That's exactly what he needs, too. Tailor-made for fighters.
Yeah,
it would be... I mean, they both want that fight, right?
Exactly.
Robbie probably thinks he can knock Mike out and that he's going to stand with him, so that's great for him. And then Mike Perry, he gets to fight a legend.
A legend, yeah.
Who's higher ranked than him.
and it'll put his name up right. as well. And especially if he goes out there and finishes him, unlike, you know, Magny.
He's right back in the back in the mix.
Good luck finishing Lawler, though.
I'm just saying, if he was to. Obviously, Mike's going to swing for the fences because that's the kind of fighter he is.
Hey, it's possible. Tyron did it, so it's possible to finish Robbie. It's not like it's impossible.
Yeah, Tyron.
Yeah, but it's not like the only person. I guess you could count the Ben Askren thing, but.
Nah, Nick Diaz. Nick Diaz.
I know, but like that's like 1993.
Really. Hey, still happened, though. Still happened.
Yeah.
With a jab.
Well, wouldn't you say that Mike Perry's power is equivalent to what Tyron has? Tyron has in his hands?
No,
I wouldn't say it's equivalent to Tyron, but I definitely I could compare, I could make it comparable to Nick Diaz in my head anyway.
When I watch Nate Diaz fight, his punches are more like constant things over time. It's not like
it's value.
Yeah, he's not gonna put you down in one shot.
Yeah,
death by a thousand cuts.
So now we're going to.
Light heavyweight? Or so, would you Smith?
Yeah, Smith. Are we going middleweight or?
I think you should go middleweight.
So we'll start with middleweight, but we'll also talk about light heavyweight since currently he is a light heavyweight. But I'll start with middleweight. Obviously, the champions Israel Adesanya. Ranked number one currently is Robert Whittaker. Number two is Paulo Costa. Obviously, Paulo Costa is fighting Israel. Robert Whittaker is fighting Jarrett Cannonier. Then we have number four is Jack Hermanson. He's fighting ranked six Darren Till next, I believe, in That's December. Great. Number five is Yoel Romero, and that would just be terrifying for Anthony Smith, even though technically Anthony Smith might be able to beat him.
Luke Rockhold.
Rockhold
and
Anthony Smith at middleweight. I'm with that.
Because Luke's been out for a while. And it'll be his first fight back in a hot minute. Anthony's on a losing skid, so it's perfect for him to come back and, you know, show, you know, I guess his dominance, basically, if he's going to, you know, do the work.
The question is, where Smith comes back in at middleweight if he drops back down? He's currently ranked five. He lost to Ratchik, who's eight, so that will put him at least at seven or eight, obviously, afterwards. Would he come back and just automatically be the under the 15, or would he be, you know what I'm saying, would they adjust the rankings for what he was ranked previously?
What's his record at 85?
Let's find out. I don't even know how I would pull up a middleweight.
On a little run. I mean, he finished Rashad, Lombard, Shogun. Well, that was 205, but I mean,
it was a mixture. Yeah.
I think he stays at 15. So in between top 15.
Okay. I don't think he's gonna cut back down to middleweight.
Yeah, he seems to like 205.
Yeah. Now I will say this: he's never came in really shredded up either. Not that that matters necessarily, but like at the same time, like you think when somebody, I guess you'd be more shredded up if he was cutting more weight, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I hope that he's been able to get the right amount of training and stuff like that. We were talking about that previously, where you wonder what kind of training he was getting during COVID and stuff like that. And I'm sold on the Luke Rockhold matchup, honestly, right now. Like, I can't even, like, I don't even see anybody at light heavyweight that I don't even want to see him. I mean, I guess you could do Smith and Shogun, but, like, I don't know. It just seems like, but I don't even know where Smith is at right now in his head. He seems like he might be thinking about retirement as well.
Did you just say Smith and Shogun fighting again?
Yeah. I mean, Shogun's on a win streak right now, I believe.
Smith knocked him out.
I know, but like Smith needs a confidence booster, right? Like he needs something that'll reset him.
Maybe he goes out.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, if you go out and fight Shogun again and you don't beat Shogun, that just lets you know where you're at.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. What about maybe like Marvin Vettori, like an upcomer who's on a streak?
True.
Chris Weidman.
I like the Chris Weidman one. I'm just trying to think of like name value wise. Like obviously Smith isn't the biggest name ever, but he's a fairly notable name. Obviously he's gonna fight some. I think he would want to fight somebody kind of equivalent status. I think Chris Weidman would be a good one. I still want to see Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold as well.
I'd watch the rematch for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I want some food, Mike.
I'm so sorry. Gotta get it while it's hot.
I want to talk about this Alexa Grasso girl. She was impressive to me.
Yo.
She was really like, she controlled, she like mastered the range in that fight with Kim. She, I was on the lawn. She was just outside of like Kim's reach, which caused him to reach with that left hand. Like you could see her body like actually like leaning out.
Overextending.
Overextended, and she was just cracking her with that right hand. Like she, like Kim knew it was coming, but she didn't pick up on that. She needed to take like a, you know, one more step closer. But yeah, Grasso just kept taking little small steps to stay outside of that range and was just cracking that girl.
I thought Kim was doing good in the first round, and then once Grasso, once Grasso figured out what she needed to do to adjust, she was killing, because I was like thoroughly impressed. So like the first round, you see Kim kind of doing everything right, and every time she got punched, she had like a fucking stoic face. She wasn't giving you no emotions. But over the next two rounds, like not necessarily that she was giving emotions, but that face was definitely changing, because Grasso, she fixed any holes she had in the first round into the second round, and she was like just dipping and just cracking her every time. It was beautiful.
She looked comfortable in the clinch too. She didn't get overwhelmed with the clinch with Kim.
Especially being undersized, because she was moving up. And
the speed difference was quite notable.
For sure.
Which, you know, they said that in the pre-fight when they were talking about it. They said that the speed would be, she would have an advantage. But she just looked so much faster than her with the way that they game plan that fight. And when she figured out her holes after that first round, like you said, she looked awesome. She looked great. I don't know how she would look against some higher ranked fighters in that division, but last night she looked really impressive, and she's gonna put herself in a good spot going forward.
For sure. She
is that 25?
It was pretty even round one.
Right.
And then as the fight went on, like you said, she started making the corrections. Mm-hmm. Landing more, and like these girls, they were throwing hard and fast. I mean, it was a super technical fight too. Like I was telling Lindell, like other than like the Sean Brady and Christian Aguilera fight, that was probably the most technical fight on the card. Like to me, when I was watching,
it was beautiful. I love seeing people make mid round adjustments and then come out, you know, completely, you know, ready to go, because like obviously was it Kim, was that her name?
Kim.
She didn't make any adjustments. She kept like firing the same way and stuff like that, and never changed to Grasso reading her.
I thought if she would have actually squared up a little bit more, not so much to cut off the ring, because it wasn't like Grasso was,
she tried, you know,
no, but she, when I say square up, I mean, if she would have just, you know, maybe taken her right leg and just swung it a little bit more open, that she might have been able to, like, readjust, like, the distance to get a little bit closer. Because she kept throwing her left hand, because she's seeing it. She's like, oh, it's right there. It's right there. It's right there. And that just played into Grasso's, like, strategy. She just kept cracking it with that right hand over the top. And you get it, even though, you know, Kim didn't change her facial expression, you could kind of see it, how frustrated she was getting. Right. Like middle of round two, you know, you could see her being like, what? But Alexa really impressed me.
Did y'all see the Zach Cummings fight? And DiCiro?
Was that on the prelims?
It was on the prelims.
Yeah. I didn't see any of the prelims fight this time.
Huh?
I didn't see any of the prelims fight. I just watched the main card after.
So, it seemed like DiCiro, or however you say his last name.
DiCiro, I think.
What is it? DiCiro?
DiCiro, I think, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a weird last name.
What's the first name?
I had him winning the first two rounds, I thought, at least. And then, you know, he was kind of picking Zach apart. He was hitting Zach some hard bombs, but apparently Zach is known to, like, he's never been rocked. Like, he has a granite chin.
And yeah, he's a tough guy.
I saw it last night. Like, he got hit with some real hard, clean shots. Just ate it. He laughed. He smiled. He looked at him. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, this dude's crazy. And then he's having fun towards the end of the fight. Last 10 seconds hits. You hear the clappers go off. And Zach throws like a real soft left hook and throws right into a head kick. And DiCiro leaned right into the chin. Boom. He fell down. He was out of it. He fell down. He got back up. He tried to stand. He stumbled, fell over again. And that's how the fight ended. It didn't like it made it to the timer, to the bell. But mm-hmm. He got knocked out basically right after the bell. Ref didn't stop it, so it did go to decision. And then they gave the decision to Zach Cummings. But that was pride. I really thought that that other kid was winning, but when you leave it in some, you know, that kind of impression on the judges, you know, you just knock around the dude out at the end of the round. I guess that's how powerful it is.
Time wise, do you know what time he dropped him? Like, how much time was left?
It was literally I think the bell rang as he kicked him in the face.
Okay. Yeah, that's gonna be a tough one. I've only seen one fight stop after the bell where somebody else was finished and ended up still winning the fight. It was a fight with Celine Haga and somebody else in Invicta, and the other girl got choked out almost, basically completely. The bell stops. The girl lets her go. She stands up. The girl's basically unconscious on the ground.
Right.
But they wake her up, stand her up, and somehow she still wins the fight. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Well, that's like Murad and Ricky Simone.
Yeah.
Right? Murad was probably out. Like,
yeah,
he looked like he was out, but you know, the bell rang, the ref didn't stop the fight. So, if the ref doesn't stop the fight,
anything goes, right?
And if he went in there and stopped it and then the bell went off, then you know, obviously that's just the fight.
Real quick,
sorry about that.
What'd you say? What? Okay,
so man.
Just because we never talked about him, obviously Rochick wants to fight the winner of.
Wrong.
Tell me, who is it?
Reyes and Bland.
Reyes and Yan. There we go. Do you think he should be ahead of Glover Teixeira, or should he just fight? Oh wait, well, Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira's fight. I believe the winner of Thiago Santos Glover Teixeira should fight the winner.
Yeah, rankings wise, it should be those two.
Okay.
And I think Glover just has a little bit too much experience and will finish Santo, my opinion.
By the way, it was exactly 1 second left when he landed that kick. Like, literally.
Okay. So that's fair then. Like, there's nothing you can really do about that.
Yeah. It's almost like, I mean, the Garbrandt and the Sunset knockout, it's pretty much a buzzer beater as well.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Scorched him, too.
Like, if he got up to, like, go back to his corner, I'm sure the fight would have been stopped. Like, he was planked. He was ass up, face down. Poor guy.
Yeah. I just rewatched that. I just rewatched that fight too. But we can go back to what we were talking about before. I just wanted to bring in Ratchet because we didn't talk about who he'd fight next.
I think he should have Prazaka, the guy that I'm so highly touted about, who I think is going to be the next champion.
Who? You mean Johnny Walker 2.0?
I don't know, man. This guy's wild. And he's got a hell of a resume. And I feel like I've been bringing him up.
Jury Prazaka.
Prazaka. I've been bringing him up with every single podcast.
Yeah, he's good. He's impressive, but like I don't want to. I can't.
It's hard to predict.
Right. What about like when you're that wild?
Volkov though, he's still out there running around.
Volkov? He's heavyweight.
Oh, is he heavyweight?
Yeah, Jerry's light heavyweight.
Freaking idiot!
No, I'm talking about Volkov. Volkov.
Why do you keep saying Volkov?
He's saying Volkov is not Volkan Ozdemir.
Oh, Volkan.
And Volkan, he just got slept by Prazaka.
You can't say Volkov.
No. Next.
I was talking about Alexander Volkov.
Heavyweight.
Alexander Volkov
next.
Is a heavyweight.
Oh, he is. I'm sorry. He just fought Curtis Blaydes.
Casual alert. Next.
I don't know why I have in my head that he fought. You know what I'm thinking of? Like, I'm like mixing his weight class.
Krylov. Next.
I'm thinking of Gustafson. Like, over. Volkov, they're like both tall, lanky.
Right.
Blonde dudes. You know, white people. You know what I'm saying?
Not all white
like
people.
That. I don't like that.
Hey, wait. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Not all white people like them.
Loud, loud, loud. Anyways. Osaka. All day. I'm sorry. No one does that to Ozdemir. It took three rounds.
That's fair. He's going to want somebody else, you know, top. In that, because, like, if you beat Ozdemir like that, you're going to want, like, another guy with the same kind of name almost next, because I did it to this guy, so I want to know, I want the same thing.
Right.
Well, whether they give it to him, though, is the question.
Dude, what blows my mind about Brzaka is that he's, and I'm probably not even saying his name right, I'm sorry, but, like, he debuted with 29 fights, or, like, 30 fights total. So he was 26, 3, and 1 draw. That blows my mind. And looking at his record, he's knocked out Muhammad Lawal, Fabio Maldonado. I think he's beat Liam McGeary as well.
That's not bad. I love Liam McGeary.
Pretty good light heavyweights. So he's got some names in his cap.
You know a lot for a casual, man. I give you credit.
He beat the guy that just knocked out Bader as well. That was a big win for me as well when I saw it on his record.
And Jiri's currently ranked number 6 at light heavyweight as well. So
he jumped real quick.
He jumped high.
But when you do
something like that to, you know, obviously Volkan was probably at least, 5 when he fought him?
Do you know how old he is? Would you be able to pull up, like, his topology and look at his age? And
I think he's pretty young. He's, like, 25 or 24.
Bro, that's wild. I can't imagine having that many fights. Because just think about it like this. You can probably get hit with one overhand in each of those fights. Let's say you have, like, 30. That's still accumulating trauma.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely young. He's 27.
27? That's not bad.
That's pretty
young for...
What are you laughing at?
Heavyweight.
It's just crazy, man. I just hope that, like, the light heavyweight division pans itself out, and I hope Reyes does not get the belt, because he doesn't shut up without the belt. Imagine him with it.
I would love if Reyes got the belt.
Yeah, I like Dominic.
I still personally think he beat John Jones.
I do too.
Lindell.
I'm a John Jones guy. Like, I love John Jones. I love John Jones for a long time. I thought Reyes clearly beat him personally. He stuffed all of John Jones' takedowns. He was striking with him the entire fight.
Yeah, on his back.
Only time he took off and was losing was when he took off in the mid rounds in order to have enough gas to go in the fifth and late fourth. And that's because he took those rounds off because he needed to make sure he had the cardio for it.
John Jones took off his last 5 fights.
I don't care what John Jones took off of. Maybe. I thought he lost.
Look at it like this. Okay.
Yeah, Gus, I thought Dom won.
Gus and John Jones won. Who won?
Okay.
Oh.
I went back and rewatched that fight.
That's a close fight.
I thought Gus won originally.
Me too.
But when I went back and rewatched it, John Jones was clearly outpointing him throughout the fight. In that fight. I don't think it's the same thing here, though. It's not equivalent.
Let me put it this way. Are fights judged by damage and the rules that are set? So, like, octagon control, forward pressure, effective striking.
It's judged by points.
Okay. Was John hurt more against Reyes or against Gus 1?
Gus 1.
Then that's why that would be a closer decision. What did Reyes do, John? Stuff takedowns?
Because Dom landed way more.
He stuffed all the takedowns. Who stuffed John Jones takedowns except for fucking Alex? Nobody.
Or like Cormier.
That's what I said. Except for Alex. Yeah.
Yo, Brazy.
But being like more of a traditional, more of a kickboxer style. Like, obviously Cormier is a wrestler, so he'll be more. And you got to get real low on somebody like Cormier to take him down. So, no other striker has stopped John Jones takedowns besides Gustafson for the most part. I thought he looked fantastic, but that's just my opinion.
Or maybe, just like with Amanda Nunes, we're a little bit lulled by their greatness because they've been consistent and dominant for so long.
Nah.
No. I know. I've watched a million fights. I know what it looks like when I feel like somebody's lost or somebody's won. Like, I've watched enough fights to where I feel like I could judge a fight. In my opinion. Obviously, I'm just a fan, but...
I wish you were a judge. I can say I know a judge. That'd be so cool. All anyways, right. John Jones is the GOAT. Number 2 is GSP. Number 3 is Mighty Mouse. Just jumping
Mighty
off.
Mighty Mouse, Anderson.
No, Mighty Mouse pound for pound is the GOAT.
Fair. No, Anderson in the top 3? Y'all crazy.
Picograms before you saw them?
Stayed away.
I don't care about stayed away. I'm just talking about like that run. That run of Anderson.
Incredible.
Was done. Sure. Nobody.
Well, you got to put Jose Aldo in there too.
Of course.
Years. Well, the only thing I'll say about
Khabib,
the only hard part for Jose is that I would make him like he'd be right out of the top three. Because like when you got the top three, like it's slim fucking pickings. So like you got, and then you got people like Anderson, John Jones, GSP, Demetrius. Even though I wouldn't put Demetrius in the top three, but this just obviously these are all personal rankings, obviously. Mm-hmm. But
so light heavyweight's getting it more interesting, you know, one of the lighter divisions traditionally.
It took John Jones vacating the belt to make all the other fights more relevant.
Yeah.
It's kind of like TJ Dillashaw going down to 25. It kind of, well, I mean, he kind of did it to himself, but like kind of spiced up the 35-pound division.
And then we'll get to see John Jones and Ngannou, you know, if he gets the belt.
Oh, no, imagine Ngannou knocking out Stipe, and then we get John Jones and Ngannou. Like,
we gotta get
for the title. Like, it would be amazing.
We have to get Stipe to accept that fight first.
He will.
What fight?
No, he won't. He said he wants to box.
He'll accept it. He'll accept it.
I mean, I would be in no rush to accept
the only thing I'll say is, unless he wanted like that big, almost super fight, you know, technically would be a super fight because obviously everybody would still consider John Jones the light heavyweight champion.
There's no way he comes to mind.
There's no way he should.
Sure, Conor McGregor does stuff like that. Yeah.
Hell, even like obviously people were trying to push Frankie as soon as he gets one win at bantamweight, even if he deserved that win or not.
I mean, even Aldo jumped the line after a loss.
A lot of guys do. A lot of it. And John Jones is
Chael Sonnen jumped the line at heavyweight.
No, but let's be clear. John Jones is by far almost the most
deserving
of jumping that kind of a line. Yeah.
Dude, he hasn't lost a fight ever, you know, and his one fight was a no contest or a disqualification, you know.
Don't throw
like, no one's even come close to beating John Jones. This is just my humble.
Except Reyes.
And Vitor's
armbar. And Santos.
And Chael's.
Tiago. Tiago looked good against him. Gustafson looked good
on
against
a bum
him.
Knee, right?
On a bum knee. Couldn't even move. Was still throwing heat. What y'all talking about?
Okay. I'm sorry. For me, I haven't seen John Jones hurt in a while. You know what I mean?
When all you do is throw oblique kicks and poke your fucking fingers in people's eyes, who's gonna hurt you? They're not calling no fouls on you, man.
That's why he does it.
Exactly.
I
would do it too. Oh, nobody cares? Fuck it. Yeah. I pokes. Look at fucking Stipe and goddamn DC eye poking each other to death.
Yep.
Yeah, that was crazy. I feel like DC's eyes are not terrible. Still hurting from that fight, Stipe DC.
Is there any other fight you guys want to talk about on this card? Obviously, Alex Caceres. Mallory
Martin fight.
Yes, Mallory Martin losing the first round, getting dropped, back in the second round.
That overhand landed so perfectly
clean.
On her shit.
Yes.
And I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that she survived that round.
Yeah.
She was so out of it, and Hannah was throwing bombs on top, and then she had the IQ. At one point, when they actually got stood up or they were standing, that she pulled guard.
Mm-hmm.
She pulled guard on Cypher to bring her back.
Smart,
to the ground.
Yeah.
was super smart. I was damn. Like, I'm
no, neutralizer, get your wits back about you.
Crazy.
And then she came out, takedown, ground and pound to a choke.
Took her back. Yep.
That's it, dude. And
choked her to death.
Hannah had nothing for her on the ground.
Oh, Hannah's just a striker for the most part.
Yeah. That was a crazy fight.
Pollyanna Viana submitted Emily Whitmire.
That was a
clean
armbar.
Clean armbar.
That was a beautiful armbar. Oh, off her back, too.
On guard.
Speaking of clean fucking submission, though, Alex Caceres, Austin Springer. I know Austin Springer was making his debut, but he snapped that shit quick.
Yeah.
He snapped under the...
I think Austin just showed up for a payday, and he knew that he would get his you know, he's guaranteed
real,
a fight.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because he really didn't even try to defend it. He didn't really. I don't know. I was watching it with Coach, and he thought the same thing. Like, he was just there to get in. He was just glad to be there. Like,
you don't think the choke was just too quick, though?
No. That was such a sloppy, like, choke attempt. The way he jumped around to the back and threw it in. And homeboy didn't even try to finish it. He didn't try to grab the hand.
Right.
He didn't try to, like, bring his body over to the other side because he had a body triangle locked up.
Damn.
He literally just let him take his neck, and then he stayed for a second, held his hands out, and then he went. And then he acted like he was out, like he wasn't out.
Okay. Like,
that's embarrassing.
Like, you know what I'm saying? People do that. People, they fake being out because they think it's makes them look like they're not going to tap or like they took it to like the limit. But he was in that choke for about 2 seconds and he went.
You know, you see that in boxing. Conor McGregor you see that in boxing all the time. You see that in boxing all the time. Like dudes on like the lower levels will get like hit with a jab and they're just like. I'm good. No, yeah, good fight, man. Good fight. Yeah, good job.
That's true. People fake it.
Lon, if you ever do anything that we're talking about right now, ever, lose my number.
I would never. Bro, I know. I would rather. I'd rather go out.
Fucking.
Hey, I shouldn't even say I'd rather go out. If I tried, and this guy like he has me checkmated.
I'm taking a nap.
I'm gonna push it till like I'm blacking out. I'll probably tap and then go out.
Just fake fall asleep.
Well, because what happens is even if you tap as you're going out, you still go out. Especially when they let go and the blood rush to your back to your.
Think about it like this: you tap out, you have like a good 3 or 4 seconds before the ref actually breaks it up.
You're gonna go out.
You can be tapping, and they got to get to you still.
Right. So I'll fight. It depends on, and it also depends on what submission. If someone's ripping your ankle apart with a heel hook,
right,
or your arm,
tap because you're not gonna be fighting anytime soon. If it's a choke, take that.
You can go to sleep. Take a nap. Take a nap.
Naps are cool. I've been choked out once or twice in my life. Waking up, I'm like, it's almost like out of a time capsule. Like, what year is it?
It's like you went to sleep and you woke up.
It's kind of cool.
You need to be choked up again with air.
You don't know what's going on. Like, it's the weirdest thing. You've never.
It's almost like a mini DMT, to be honest.
Tony, if you need to like be put to sleep one day, so you know what feels. Oh,
I've been choked up before. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
I don't need that. I just take a melatonin. I'm good. I don't need all that.
One other fight I wanted to talk about just before, because they were also talking about retirement, was Ricardo Lamas and Bill Algeo. Lamas' veteranship. He's a beast. Like, yeah, if this is his.
Is he on his way out? I mean,
he talked about retiring.
Right, he fought a debut fighter, and he almost got knocked out. And he almost got finished.
But you're the old guy fighting a debut fighter. You're fighting this young guy.
He's 38 years old.
Yeah.
Did Lamas ever fight for a title?
He fought Aldo.
He fought Aldo.
He fought leg kick Aldo too.
Aldo tore his ass up.
And that's when he was on a tear. I remember the dirty thing he did to Eric Coke. It looked like he poked a hole in his eye with his elbow. It was literally just blood. Right.
Why is it dirty? Not literally like
dirty elbow. Like,
oh, okay. Like, okay, I got you.
Nasty. Yeah, that is what I'm saying. Not dirty.
He stuck it out, man. Algeo hit him with that beautiful knee up the middle.
Oh my god! Yes.
I don't know how he didn't go out.
They re-showed it in the slow mo. It's like, jeez, like what a chin.
Yeah. Fight was nuts.
Yeah, he ate that shit. But Algeo, it's great for him. You know,
he looked good. Great
in his UFC debut against a tough vet. Now he's got Ricardo, you know, under his belt. Not as a win. But
right.
Still,
that's
experience, you know.
If you can debut versus a vet and look as good outside of actually winning, if you can look good against him, it's almost as good as a win.
And he took because out you short notice.
Exactly.
He got a bonus. So, I mean, that's a great debut. He made a lot of fucking money, and now people know who he is.
One thing I appreciated, speaking of bonuses, is that I think almost all of the lesser-named guys outside of Ricardo Lamas got bonuses, which to me, and I know this is going to sound messed up, feels fair. Like, there's so many, like, guys that be on the prelims that make 13 and 13 or 10 and 10, and they'll have an amazing performance, but because such and such name is above them, they get the bonus. And it, to me, drives me crazy. How can you give a guy that makes $1 million a $50,000 bonus, and you got dude fighting down here for 8-8, and he just killed this man? Like, I was so happy to see, because I believe Mallory Martin got it, Ricardo Lamas, Bill Algeo got it, and I'm blanking on the last guy who got it. but irrelevant. I know it was a lesser named guy, and still to my point. I just like seeing the guys that aren't getting paid as much get the bonus when they deserve it.
For sure.
It sucks we didn't get to see Magomed Ankalaev and Ian Kutalaba too. I was really
excited. Oh,
that one hurt me.
Strikes again.
That one hurt me.
Kutalaba is a character for sure.
Oh, he's not a bad fighter. 100%.
No. He's just a wild man.
Yeah, he's a wild man.
Yeah.
205. He's in that
Yo,
new.
Did you ever watch Kutalaba versus Jared Cannonier?
Yeah.
That was the very first fight I ever saw both of them.
Fantastic.
That is a wild ass fight. Mike. If you've never seen that fight, go watch.
Which one
that
is it?
Fight.
It's one of the best fights. Kutalaba and what?
Cannonier. When Cannonier. He was coming down from heavyweight,
oh,
he fought Kutalaba.
Is it basis then?
I believe he fought Kutalaba and Teixeira at light heavyweight before he went down to middleweight. But him versus fucking Kutalaba is fantastic. If you've never seen it, definitely go back and watch it.
Wild fight, dude. Wild.
And it's a whole different fucking Cannonier. You'd be like, who the fuck is that guy? Yeah. Like, that's not Jared Cannonier. I've seen Jared Cannonier. Yeah.
Cannonier's something else.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He was great at 85. He's fucking shredded. Yeah.
I can't believe he knocked out.
And his power's there, too.
I can't believe he knocked out Hermanson.
I can believe it. You fought at heavyweight. You knocked out heavyweights. Fuck yeah, he knocked out Hermanson. What are you talking about?
You don't just lose that power.
Yeah, that power's still there.
Jeez. Well, that's a crazy thing about the stack division as well. Are there any other fights that you guys wanted to cover? By the way, I'm not sold on Caceres, even after the 20 years he's been in the UFC and his 15-14 record.
Define sold
not
on Caceres.
Sold. Trash. That's what I mean.
He choke you out.
I'd like to see him try.
I'd
be cool about him.
I've always loved Caceres. He's all like weird karate shit, but his jiu-jitsu is really good. Like, and he's been in some good fights with like other vets and stuff like that.
Mike, you could beat him.
I'm not even close to that level of fighting. I'm not even close to the UFC. I haven't even started a pro career. But if I can go pro next month and pick anyone in the UFC 145 pound roster, I would beat the living fuck out of Caceres. And I'd heel hook him. I'd do something. I just know that, like, it's not even like
a submit him.
It's just more. I've never felt him. I've never felt that. I mean, I felt that level. And let me just say that, like, the people that I've trained with over the years would smash him. And I've been smashed by those people. So it's like, my confidence is there for sure. And I have friends that are in that division that I think would whoop him as well. So, whatever, man. I'm not sold. He's trash. I'm sorry. I hope he listens.
I've been a Caceres fan for a long time, so I'm a B.
He was gonna be my next fight that I called. I was gonna, if I had beat Spike, I was gonna call out Alex Caceres. That was gonna be my next fight.
That would have been a fun fight.
You know, because he's got the name, and I think I'd smash him. So that's all. I was like, well, let me get that fight.
What is he gonna do to you? He's not knocking you out.
He definitely doesn't have the power.
He's not knocking anybody out.
Right.
Is he gonna take your back? Is he gonna take you down?
That'd be his only chance would be to take the back and try to like choke you, because his ground game is good. He's not
a slouch on the ground. I can give him that.
Yeah, he's got a good ground game,
but
which he wanted to show off when he was against Chase Hooper. Luckily, he didn't get caught. But that was
Chase probably had the jitters as well. He's super young, 20 years old, man. And
that was his second fight in the UFC though.
He dominated the first one. Yeah.
I was just surprised they gave him somebody's. And I guess, like you said, like.
Big jump.
Caceres was only, what, you said 15, 14, 16, 14 now?
Yeah.
Something.
You know, I guess if you're giving him somebody, if you're looking at it rankings, like record wise, like that's a fair enough fight. Like you're not giving him like a killer. Somebody that would just knock him the fuck out, I guess.
Yeah.
Here's my thing is that the UFC is the top echelon of fighters, and I've seen people with worse record or with better records. Get kicked out of the UFC, and Caceres is just chilling. He's making at least 25-25. You know what I'm saying?
Dana's always liked him. He liked him from when he was on the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
He likes his personality.
Yeah, he's probably easy to deal with, too. Like, you're not paying him a shit ton of money.
Oh, 20 and 20? Right. Yeah, I'll fight him.
Yeah, you're not paying him a shit ton of money. He fights anyone. He's fought, you know, virtually for the most part, as many people, you know. A lot of people.
I don't know much about the Springer guy that stepped in on a week's notice or less than a week's notice, but his original opponent was Giga Chikadze, a Glory kickbox fighter. and he's 10-2 in MMA. Yeah. And I was gonna put all all the money I have on him to be sick.
He tried to take Chickadee down too.
You know why they gave Springer that fight is because Springer beat Giga on the Contender Series.
Oh,
so
Giga pulled out or something. Like that?
So if you MMA math it,
so let's get the kid that beat him on the Contender Series and let's give him a shot.
Damn, so Springer showed up in the Contender Series and he didn't show up for his debut.
I mean, he didn't get signed on the Contender Series though. He beat Giga, but neither got signed that night. And then Giga got into the UFC later on a short notice fight.
Giga's good. Giga's very good. I've seen him fight.
He just fought. That was an older fight.
Some short guy. I forgot. But that guy looked.
It was
Aguilar? No.
No, my boy just fought. My boy Ali, the bald Jordanian, he just fought the kid that Giga fought.
Jordan? Jordan's good.
He fought for Titan FC. Small, like, Spanish dude.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
I think I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
But.
Moving on. You guys want to talk about next week's fights?
What's next week?
Before we talk about the fights, one thing I want to talk about, just because it just keeps bothering me, is the way Sean O'Malley is handling this loss.
Oh, of course. I'm not
with it. I agree 100% what Darren Till said. Take the loss. Like, move on, son. Like, you don't have to be this upset about it. And I get it. You're mad. You got injured during the fight. But, like, saying, like, you're still undefeated, and even if you feel mentally undefeated, and that's the equivalent. Yeah. I can respect that. Like, Max Holloway's saying he's still a champion. You got a champion mindset. You're not going to let a loss change your mindset because that's how you feel about yourself. That's fine. But acting like it didn't happen is just, like, it's childish. I'm sorry. Like,
you're calling the guy that beat you a journeyman?
Like, it is ridiculous to me that he, like, you lost. Get over it. You're still a beast. You'll probably go out there and knock.
Like, he's, you know how he put the whole thing on his social media, like, the first thing they said, he said humbled. And then later on his podcast, that's when he, like, really outed himself. And was,
he,
like,
lost it, yeah.
Talking all this shit. I just watched another video on his, because I'm subscribed to his YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And he, he's talking about all the haters and blah, blah, blah.
And who knows what kind of DMs he's getting.
And for sure. And then the one where he reads mean comments, because he put up a contest for, like, a shirt. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, roast me in the comments or whatever. So everybody's coming out with all their, you know, fucked up shit they can say.
Yeah.
That's what happens when somebody who is hyped actually listens to their hype way too much.
Right. And this is no disrespect on Sean. Like, I love Sean. I just don't.
You see it happen in sports. Like, I'm trying to think of another athlete that was hyped, and then, you know, let's say maybe Adrian Sage. Broiner.
Sage.
No, maybe Adrian Broiner, a boxer.
Oh, yeah, Sage, yeah.
He was
Sage hyped. Didn't believe his hype, though.
Everyone else did.
I'm saying Adrian Broiner, though, in a different sport, in boxing. Adrian Broiner believed his hype. He listened to his hype, and then he went up against Marcos Maidana.
Oh, yeah.
And Broiner has not been the same since. And he had that same type of, you know, speaking that same type of, like, denial talk, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. Some people can handle the hype, and some people can't. You know.
What do you think about – let's just completely get off of MMA. What do you think about the hype behind Ryan Garcia? I think he's, like, 19-0, like, 17 knockouts, something like that. They're really young-looking, good-looking kid. Got millions of followers.
I need to see him fight some more. I gotta see him fight some killers. Like, he needs more names.
Yeah, he needs to fight killers because he's impressive against these guys. But yeah,
I think he's got a big fight coming up.
He has good hype under him. Is he fighting Gervonta? I thought I saw that as well, but I wasn't sure if that was official.
I thought him and Devin Haney were trying to fight. They're trying to, like, get something together.
I don't think anybody wants to fight Devin Haney.
Devin Haney, bro, puts people away.
I need to see him fight, like, somebody who also is at the same level of hype as him. Like, I respect you beating the people that you're beating. That's fine. But until he fights, like, another, like, known, like... It's just tough. Cejudo?
There's a little bit of beef there.
I would love if people could do more charity events or anything like that. Like, y'all want to make money? It would bring a good following and stuff like that. Like, you can make good money for good charities and stuff. I feel like that should be more of a thing. Because then we could get the things that we wanted to see anyway. Just for a good cause. Yeah, like I would watch a charity event with Anderson Silva versus GSP. Maybe just grappling, just something like or like with a boxer fighting with an MMA fighter for four rounds or something like that. Like I wish that happened more often. Oh, I think the last time I saw something like that, Faber, like one of his guys was supposed to be boxing for something, and he just like he was there, and one of the boxers couldn't box, and he just hopped in there and boxed in jeans and everything, because he's gangster like that.
Faber,
like yeah. If I can find the clip, I'll show you what guys
about,
later.
KSI and Logan Paul.
Yeah,
oh,
they
make a mockery of us, though. They're making a mockery.
But I just still say, that's going Paul, to charity, though, right?
He takes it seriously, though. I mean, they both take it seriously.
Does that go to charity, or are they making money for that?
Well, they definitely made money, but they also, okay. I'm pretty sure that they did take some of the proceeds and they sent it, they donated it.
If they're donating to charity, then I'm all for it. Like, it's nothing wrong with that. Like, you don't have to look at it like they're fighting for a world title. They're just boxing. Anybody can box. I can box you for charity. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
Ain't nobody whooping my ass for charity.
Mikey, I'll stab you for charity. Fight me.
I'll take a knee. If I really have to take an L, I'll take a knee.
Mikey, I want a one-on-one with you, Mikey. Call of Duty.
Oh,
one-on-one. Call of Duty.
Every time you line it up, you're not there. Anyways, moving on. Speaking of charity events, we have Roy Jones Jr. and Lindell. We have Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson.
I hear Roy Jones is trying to pull out of that.
I hope not. He's gonna hurt Tyson, bro.
Mikey, what are your thoughts on that?
They're suing somebody.
My heart wants Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mikey, unmute yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how that happened. Anyways, hello, Mike Tyson. And wait, did you mute? Frick you! Grow up.
I can't.
Anyways. Well, you'll never get the one-on-one. I think that my heart wants Mike Tyson.
Right.
Because, bro, I mean, his style, he's ruthless, the way he talked, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. There's so much of an aura of superstardom, even in his 50s, to Mike Tyson.
I want some flaw.
But Roy Jones Jr. fought 2 years ago, which is way more recent 100%. Than Mike Tyson's last fight.
Right.
They can both be in the gym right now, but being in that fire, I think there's a big gap. I think it was 2004, 2005, Tyson's last fight.
Tyson's shredded right now.
The way that Roy is going knocked out, like, I'm fearful for Roy to be in any type of competition. Because I think it was last 2 or 3 years, he got knocked out by some dude.
But he's fighting young guys, though, wasn't he?
There should be a senior.
I can't remember nobody his age.
But TRT. He fought. Dude, and I was like, did Roy just die? Because
not the ring almost.
I mean, it's not as bad as Bernard Hopkins.
I think so.
Maybe I'm thinking about Bernard Hopkins. I know somebody got knocked out of the ring.
Bernard Hopkins got knocked into another galaxy.
Yeah.
And didn't realize that he had 10 seconds to get into the ring and was just taking his sweet time because he didn't know where he was at. Because he fell out of the ring and actually hit his head on the concrete.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Thing I want to see from Tyson. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, if I'm falling through the ring, or if you're an athlete falling through the ring, someone's not doing their job. There's plenty of people in the crowd.
I agree 100%. Yeah. This man, like, go through the table, WWE style.
Oh, they should have, like, netting.
Yeah.
Like, in between. Like, for boxing, there's really no need for anybody's hands to go on the other side of the rope. Like, I think we're past that point where we're using the rope illegally. You know, sticking it in. You know, I know people do it still.
Yeah.
Why not just eliminate that? Like, keep the ring, but just like put netting in between the ropes. so that people aren't sticking their hands in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes
sense. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
They try to cheat and hold on to it and stuff.
Yeah. And then nobody falls out of it. But, Liam, while we're at it, light the outside of the ring on fire.
Yeah. Well, there's not going to be people on the outside of the ring now with COVID. So, like, I've been watching some boxing fights that they've had online, and it's like few judges, one or two people in the crowd, and that's it. Like, they're even boxing in like local gyms is where they're having some of these fights at. So,
yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah. 2020 crazy.
The one thing I want to see from Mike Tyson, though, is like all of the videos he's put out is just him hitting like, you know, six punch combos, which is nice. I need to see man flowing. Like, I respect
somebody up.
I need to see you going like normal for like a solid minute to see that your cardio is there, because I don't like seeing just all the burst shots. Like, just show me like seeing you hit some minutes, like, or hit normal, or even like you said, like maybe spar a little bit. Like, I don't like seeing these burst clips, if you will.
You know what I want to see? I want to see Mike Tyson sparring. I want it to be rotation of partners all getting duffed one after the other. He doesn't even make it to the 3 minute mark of the
first. You know he's old, right?
He'd still knock us out though, for sure.
He could die from that. Why would you?
He's an old man.
No, I'm not saying knocking out Tyson. I'm saying Tyson knocking out the like sacrificial lambs. Like, he's putting people out before the end of the first round. You know what I'm saying? All right, Lindell, come in here. Lord, come in here.
Okay, that's an idea.
Even if they're just planking, even if they're just like getting knocked out by jabs, or even like fake knockout, dude. What if you put the footage out there in the world?
You deserve to go first when he's fresh for that earring in your ear. You deserve to go first.
Is it dangly? No.
Yeah.
Over here, no dangly. Very blunt.
What's wrong with you? Stay the course.
Hey, at least his hair's not blonde anymore. Is your hair blonde still?
MMA.
He's got highlights.
It's slowly growing out.
Mikey Timberlake.
Let it grow out a little bit. Let it grow out.
Yeah.
You can call me Gordon Ryan or Dren Donnett.
Nah, Mikey Bieber.
Let it grow out a little bit.
Anywho,
don't get Joel's dreadlocks.
Joel.
Joshua.
That's so cool. You know him.
Cornrows.
Yeah. My cousin, bro.
I know, he looks just like you. It's creepy. In the face, they look just alike, bro.
I don't see it.
He's got more caveman hair than you, but that's probably because you shave your chest and shit.
Yes, I do. But what other fights you guys thinking? Any charity?
Nothing off the top of my head. I think we covered pretty much everything tonight.
We got the contender series coming up again.
On
Tuesday.
Speaking of contender series, Mike Rodriguez, bro.
He looked really
good.
Hit that man really good.
With a 20-punch combo, bro. That shit was crazy. I was like, ref, help this man out. Like, what do you want from him?
For real.
He's trying to let – was that guy Hawaiian or Mexican? I want to say he was Hawaiian, but I'm not sure. He could have been whatever he was, the man was tough. Man got straight up hit with a Tekken combo. Like,
a Tekken combo. Oh,
it was ridiculous.
But was this last week?
Oh,
yeah, last week's.
What'd y'all think about Dana not signing Genius MMA, Romero, Anthony Romero?
I mean, he can't sign everybody every time, right?
I know, he looked good. He was well rounded.
Mm-hmm. Did he finish? I can't remember.
He didn't finish him. He's 8-0 now. He, he almost finished the kid with leg kicks.
Yeah.
He was capping him. And then I think Dana didn't want to pick him up because he didn't finish the fight.
Yeah.
He had a chance, though. He hurt the kid really bad. And then Mike Breeden, mm-hmm. the other kid, tough as nails, started going fought the rest of the fight southpaw. And he actually looked good southpaw. And he never stopped. I mean, his fucking leg was—he was barely walking on it the mm-hmm. entire time. And I think Dana really wanted to see him finish him. He said, "I think if he wasn't going to finish him, that's why he wasn't going to sign him." And okay. Now he's like, you know, he did the same thing like he did with that kid that got a double leg in mm-hmm. the first season of my season. for the first episode.
Right.
Like, you know, other organizations can see him and pay him money or pick him up. He's like, he's the biggest free agent out there now.
You know? One thing I'll say is, who was it? I think Hannah Goldie, she won on hers. Did she get signed or did she come in as a short notice? So there you go. Like, he's been on Contender Series. He can say he might not want to sign him now. But, you know, over time, you're going to have more fights and you're going to need people to fill those spots. He could still come in on a short notice.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And it was also because he's young, too. He's only 23 years old.
Oh, okay.
He's 8-0, you know, about to get signed by the UFC.
Right. So maybe he fights one more regional circuit fight. They pick him up for a short notice or something like that.
Or a short notice, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It seems I was just going to talk about that regional circuit. What were you about to say?
I was going to talk about the fights this weekend.
Like the ones coming up?
Yeah, if there was one that excited you guys.
But okay, hold that thought. Yep. I'm excited to talk about next week, too. There's actually a lot of good matchups. But is it just me, or is not necessarily getting into the UFC a lot easier now because of everything going on? But I feel like we're slowly seeing some of the legends take some of their last fights, or what seems to be like, I don't know, there's like an aura of like, okay, we might not see him fight again. Like Lawler, I felt that. I felt that with Aldo. We're just seeing like the push of the new era, kind of pushing 100%. People out.
Yeah, I mean, and they've been fighting forever. They're at the
people
end
age
of their
out
careers.
And yeah. I've always looked at the, I mean, I'm not even a professional fighter, and even in the amateur circuit, it's a very long road as well. But like, I'm looking at like the UFC now from the outside looking in from far, far, far away. It just looks like, I mean, not easier necessarily, but I feel like the opportunities are arising because of what's going on or because of what happened. Because I'm seeing people who haven't fought in 2-3 years on the regional circuit take a fight in the UFC, just happy to be there and then not even like show up. Like last week was it DeMond Minor or Minor or whatever? The one or something, he fought Metal Gear Solid. That guy. That guy didn't even look like he was there.
Oh yeah,
Andrei Arlovsky Jr.
Yeah, right. But it's just that's something that I'm noticing throughout quarantine and like the no crowds and this and that. I just see a lot of new names. I see a lot of the passing of the torch, and it'd be a perfect time to be 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. You get a call. You know,
the years are going on though. Yeah, like
be ready.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of vets are just going to slowly but surely, you know, they're phasing out. It's time for like the new generation of UFC guys.
Like Clay Guida could easily be like Ricardo Lamas. Clay Guida could fight someone who's debuting.
Okay. Right. Sanchez.
Diego, same thing. You might get Diego Sanchez as your debut. Like they're slowly making their way out. Aside from Jose Aldo, who's still
not a blessing.
He's still killing people.
Diego Sanchez.
Not a blessing.
He can't finish the same.
That's fine, but he's tough to get out of there. I promise you that.
Really? Matt Brown said otherwise. So did Akinta.
So, obviously he's lost. I didn't say he hasn't lost. I'm just saying he's a tough guy. Michelle Pereira was highly touted, and he's supposed to kill that man.
Best,
and he went all the fucking rounds with him.
This is applicable to just Diego Sanchez. I'm sure there's other fighters too. If your best quality is that you're tough, you're not that
good. I mean, for a little bit, it felt like that's what.
Robbie's at now too.
Yeah, he's not even taking beatings though.
You can beat Robbie.
I don't want to be tough. Yeah. I want to be technical. I want to be smart.
You want to be Neil Magny.
Dude, I want to. Okay, I want the safest MMA career possible. Which would be a
safest. I'm trying to think who's the safest fighter.
Don't fight tomato cans your entire career. Because if you're fighting high-level talent or guys that are at your level or slightly better, it's not going to be a safe fight.
Yeah.
Those are dangerous people. You know,
go do jiu-jitsu.
They're other killers.
So next week.
Next week.
Is there a fight or a fighter that you want to see coming up? I'm excited to see Jalen Turner.
That's my boy.
The Tarantula.
Cool. Or whatever.
Excited to see how he looks.
Who's he fight?
Thiago Moises. Moist.
Moises.
Moises, yeah.
I don't know too much about him, to be honest.
As long as he doesn't go to the ground, I think Jalen's fine.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
He's the guy that just submitted Michael Johnson with a heel hook a few months ago.
I'll say Jalen keeps his range a bit better than Johnson does because Johnson predominantly boxes. But yeah, Jalen can crack. But you know, that gra-
really small.
Yeah, yeah.
Jalen's huge.
He's fucking 6'3".
Yeah. 55 dude is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's huge. I still remember watching him spar with RDA. Man, RDA looked little. Macy Chiasson versus Sajara Eubanks. I like Chiasson. I like Sajara as well, but I really like watching Chiasson fight. I know Nico Montaño just got diagnosed with COVID, I'm pretty sure, so I believe she's out of it this week. If I'm not mistaken, I just saw a headline for that earlier today.
Because she's usually in the PI when I'm working out, doing my insane conditioning, and she hasn't been there all week.
Yeah, I believe I just saw that she had
that
COVID.
That totally makes sense.
Michelle Pereira making returning versus Zaleem Imadev. I'm sure people will be excited for Pereira.
Pierre is something else, man. The guy's a freak.
He's got to stop being so flashy. If that's the same guy I'm thinking
about. He was toying Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, didn't finish him though.
Super tough.
Hey, if you're that good, get him out of there.
Right,
true, but a lot of people coast. Even Masvidal's coast.
No,
coasting.
Don't play. You don't play with your food, bro. Either eat it or fucking put the plate up, dog.
Well, yeah. Not everybody thinks like that. I've seen people jab their way to victories, and I've seen people circle around the octagon.
I watched Benson Henderson fight too, bro. Relax.
I'm trying to finish
Carlos Condit
my fight at all times.
Yeah, that's how you're supposed to be, though. One guy I like a lot, Brian Kelleher. Versus Ricky Simone's on there as
Actually,
well.
Actually, Ricky Simone's out.
Is he?
He's got COVID. Or no, he didn't explain. He just said the situation is out of his control.
I hate
he's not going to be fighting. So it's funny because, you know, some of the guys out here have been offered Brian Kelleher, but you know, they're not ready to accept it right now. But he's in the process of looking for a fight right now.
Okay. I like Kelleher a lot. He's pretty well-rounded. And I hope they can find a fight because, like, that's two fights as far as we said.
Damon? Was that his last fight?
Yeah. I don't know the whole card. Obviously, I know Alistair Overeem, Augusto Sakai.
Augusto Sakai.
Yeah. Do you know what the rest of the main card is, Lindo?
Yeah. Sajara Eubanks versus Carol Rosa. That's the call
name. Is this?
Michael Pereira versus Zaleem Imadev.
What is Michael Pereira's nickname?
I don't know. I just know he's a dude that does all the cartwheels and shit.
We have the same manager.
Okay. Is Macy Chiasson not fighting? Sajara? Mm-hmm. Is she even on the card? Because whatever this card is on MMA Fighting is wrong then.
No.
I don't know too much about Sakai, but he's 4-0 in the UFC, and he won his Contender Series fight.
I think I watched him back in Bellator, too. Yeah, he cracks more, if anything.
The only loss he had was a split decision to Chet Congo, so essentially undefeated.
Yeah.
He beat my teammate, Rob Horton. You met Rob before, Mike, I think.
In Bellator years ago. That was in Tampa,
Bellator.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
But so what's the rest of the card, Lindo?
So Sajara Rosa, or sorry, Sajara Eubanks versus Carol Rosa. Sajara 6-4, Carol Rosa 13-3. I think we just talked about Michael Pereira.
Yeah.
And then Ricky Simon versus Keller. And
but we Thiago said Ricky's Rosa. Out. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And then Thiago Moises versus Jalen Turner.
Okay.
That's the main card. On the prelim, we have Cole Smith versus Hunter Ashore.
Oh, that's a good fight.
On record there. Alexander Romanov versus Marcos Rogério de Lima. We have another female fight. Vivian, I can't say that.
Araujo
versus Montana De La Rosa.
Arrujo.
And then it looks like the main event for the prelim card is Andre Munoz versus Bartosz Sabinski. Da, da, da.
Fuck is that guy?
15-3, 19-4 record in that fight.
Is that a heavyweight fight?
Middleweight.
Oh, middleweight.
Heavyweight fight is Alexander Romanov versus De Lima.
And I think De Lima is the one that like was.
All right, don't pull that. Pull it from. Get it from the base of it.
The shit out of Greg Hardy, if I remember correctly.
So, this is one of the situations where the prelim card may be better than the main card. Just my opinion, but we'll see.
Could be.
So we got pretty good stuff coming on. What about Bellator? Is there a lot of Bellator coming up? I love Bellator, man. I'm telling you, I just wish it was more accessible.
Titan FC this past weekend.
Oh my god! Tomorrow's and then
brother one.
Bellator is leaving Paramount Network, so are they just going to be DAZN?
Oh really?
Is Paramount an old Spike? Is
that what that is? Yes, it's old Spike.
See, here's the thing. I don't think anybody. I don't own cable. I don't plan on owning cable.
I don't have cable either.
That's just the times that we're in, you know.
I mean, yeah, that's why for the sure. UFC smart. Like, they're well, most people are gonna have ESPN or something, or they can get the app, and now you've got your sports as well as the UFC. Bellator needs their own app. That's what they need.
Well, their app was good. I've used their app before. That I don't know what this whole. But you're not gonna get anybody paying DAZN to watch your fights.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Unless, they need to do their own pay-per-views through their app.
Yeah, and Bellator needs to do what. So in the wrestling world, what AEW does is AEW. I don't know if y'all heard of those guys. What AEW they have a contract with Bleacher Report. Bellator could easily probably do something like that, and that way they can do their broadcast through the Bleacher Report website or you know something like that.
Do you watch wrestling?
Sometimes I watch AEW. They're funny.
I just pulled up just DAZN again. Just and we talked about this before. $20 a month. Who the fuck is paying
$20? That's crazy.
ESPN Plus is $5.
Yeah.
I got ESPN Plus on a combo. I got ESPN Plus on a combo with Hulu and Disney Plus for $12 fucking dollars. You want me to spend $20 all three?
Tony, if you have Fight Pass. That's $10.
I canceled Fight Pass because they kept me trapped on a contract for 10 goddamn years, and they would never let me cancel it, and I'm never going back to Fight Pass, but that is besides the point.
It's like $80
a year. I get it for free now, so I can't complain.
Yeah, must be nice. Shut up.
Shut up.
I still pay for ESPN, though. I still pay for ESPN.
That's fair. That's fair.
I've had UFC Fight Pass, and it's cool to have. You know, as a fighter, you want to study. Like, I used to have, like, all the fighters I wanted to emulate, and then I would put a tally for every fight that I've watched them, just like studying, seeing what they do, or whatever. But sometimes when I get to that search bar on UFC Fight Pass, I'm like, who do I watch? Like, what am I going to look up? Like, it's just such a big portal
of fights. Yeah, because there's so many fights on there now. LFA's on there. IFC's on there.
Well, they did smart by having all the small promotions being under your streaming service.
Because now happy when they added LFA because LFA was only on Access TV,
and
cable, let alone Verizon. Yeah. So now that I can just watch it on Fight Pass, like I can always, LFA is like the shit. I mean, that's the feeder to the UFC. So
I
don't want to miss out on those up and coming fighters, and now I can watch it on Fight Pass. Would you say
Titan FC is a little bit bigger of a feeder? Is that like that was like one of the first?
Promotion. No,
LFA is the biggest right now because they combined when they combined with RFA and Legacy whatever it was
at the time. LFA and Cage Warriors. Cage Warriors is pretty big.
Yeah, Cage Warriors big for Europe. Is the biggest for Europe probably, and then LFA is the biggest for North America.
EFC in Africa. That's another big one.
I heard about that.
You don't really get a lot of people out of Africa though, do you? Not really. You don't hear about it.
I would say African and Middle Eastern because like they're all fighting in that area.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. But for
sure, I'm just saying out of top three.
I know what you're saying.
Maybe at number three for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you think? What do you think about island fights? And what other regionals are there? There's always going to be like random. Conflict MMA fight.
I know
it's gonna be like small dinky dank, regional ones, but I know at least in Florida there's like island fights on that night as well.
I know King of the Cage is pretty big, and then Cage of Tachi Palace, and then whatever the one is in New York that I'm blanking on.
Ring of Combat.
Yeah, CES. I'm blanking on what the whole name of it is, but Ring of Combat was the other one I was looking for as well.
There's a good amount of feeders out there.
Yeah, but LFA probably brings the, to me, I would say they probably bring the, top fighters in. I would say.
If you win an LFA title,
right, you're definitely signed. UFC right. Like Dominic Reyes, you know, wins there and then comes over, and obviously he's done well since then.
So guys, we've got a situation on our hands. In terms of Bellator, I think we're about 2 weeks away, or 10 days. 10 days
September 11th is their next event. Yeah,
Phil Davis and Lyoto Machida. That's huge.
That is. I mean, that's a 2010 number one contender light heavyweight division matchup right there.
Yeah,
I think it's a top 10 fight right now.
Keyword,
no doubt.
The keyword number is 2010.
No. Obviously, they're like
maybe 11, 12.
They're both top 15s at least.
Right now?
Sure. At least. Bro, Shogun. Sure. Shogun is number 15. Please don't tell me this.
I don't think
out of my face. 15. Phil Davis would definitely be Anthony Smith. I don't think he would definitely be. Okay, but he is. Phil Davis would definitely be Anthony Smith, so I don't even want to hear that. And Lyoto Machida, honestly, he ain't look bad at Bellator. He didn't look bad when he left. I think he left off a win when he left UFC. Lyoto Machida.
He just has a boring style, so like
Dan is karate guys. It is what it is. Yeah. Look at Stephen Thompson. He ain't out here like he had kicked one guy once and that was it. Ever since then it's just been.
We're talking about the flick kick in his debut against Dan. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Like, backflip.
You're like, bring it over.
They put that on YouTube in like super slow motion.
Yes. It's beautiful.
That's scary. It's a scary kick.
Yeah.
You know what their co-main event is? Some girl.
Katzengano.
Yeah, I don't know who Gabby Holloway is though. But Kat Zingano.
Cousin. The only Max girl beat
Amanda Nunes in the UFC.
Did she DDT Amanda Nunes, or am I making that up? Who did Kat Zingano DDT? Because she was DDTing the shit out of somebody.
It wasn't Amanda.
Okay, okay. Then ignore that. But it is amazing what Amanda Nunes did. Like to be there losing to Kat Zingano. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? And I take that back. It is amazing. But you see people do it. Jorge Masvidal wasn't finishing anyone. Like he would get a finish maybe here and there. And then he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm about to just start throwing these things. I tried to counter fight. I tried to fight however I was fighting. That shit wasn't working. I'm about to start knocking people out or getting knocked out. That's it. And they just turn the switch and they just start killing everybody.
Dude, but with Masvidal, he had like maybe three or four split decision like losses.
I know, but that's only because he walked backwards in counterbox. You can't just walk backwards in counterbox every fight and think you're going to win them all. It don't work like that. Even if like you should or shouldn't win.
Kavilov, Benson.
Yeah. Iaquinta. Yeah. And I get it. I watched the fights. But he was trying to counterbox walking backwards. And when we were talking about the octagon control earlier and pressure and stuff like that, shit like that matters.
Not to some people. And then there's Taylor Johnson. Don't know who much about him. He's fighting 8-2 Ed Ruth.
Yes.
Highly touted.
Ed Ruth will probably win, but who knows? I didn't think Tim Johnson would ever get a win. And I think he – did he KO? What's his
Taylor
face?
Johnson. Taylor Johnson.
I know that. I'm saying I didn't think Tim Johnson would ever get a win, and then he knocked out Matt Mitrione, you know what I'm saying? So like, we'll see how it goes. I don't want to count nobody out here.
Last but not least, diehards know who this is.
My boy, world. Peter Stanonic.
Who?
Oh, this looks like a feeder fight. This looks like a feeder fight. Raymond Daniels.
Peter's legit. He's a good kickboxer.
Do you really know who that is?
Yeah.
He has no picture here, so I don't know. Anyways, Raymond Daniels. Yeah. If I remember correctly, he fights out of Clearwater. For one of the best kickboxing.
Is this a MMA fight or a kickboxing fight? Just out of
it has to be MMA. Because there's no way Raymond Daniels.
Well, you know they do both.
2-1. Yeah. There's no way Raymond Daniels is 2-1.
Then it's smart. They got two kickboxers doing an MMA fight. I respect it.
That's kind of like Joe Schilling, and I love Joe Schilling.
Yeah, but Joe Schilling didn't retire.
And he gets duffed a lot, though.
Yeah, it's just rough on him. Just coach kickboxing. You're good at it. Do that.
I mean, he's the one that got Mickey Gall's.
He did. He got Mickey Gall looking. Yeah. Mickey Gall's stand up didn't look that well.
Mickey Gall's fighting Miguel Baeza. That was a recent fight.
That's a good fight.
Baeza's good, man. I doubted him.
Is that his next fight?
Yeah.
Yes, I doubted him against Matt Brown just for the
sheer. Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy can box.
Yeah,
he's from my MMA friends
is his boxing coach.
Okay, he's legit.
Billy Q's on the Glover fight and Glover Santos fight.
Well, so is Frivola. They're both on the same card.
That's awesome.
Mm. He's fighting Roosevelt Roberts, and then Billy's fighting Shane Nelson.
Roosevelt's a motherfucker.
Roosevelt's
Kyle
legit.
Nelson.
Kyle Nelson.
Hey, speaking of Nelsons, whatever happened to Gunnar Nelson?
Man, I don't know what he's been doing. So exciting.
Man disappeared.
He got knocked out by Ponzinibbio and disappeared or something like that.
Yeah, good.
Was that his last fight?
That was Ponzinibbio's last fight too, I think. Shit.
Nah, I think Pons' last fight is knocking out
Mackie. Did he test hot from USADA?
I don't think so.
Pons just been out.
Yeah, well, Pons kept getting injured a lot. He had staff, and then he had an injury, and then he got an injury again. It's a mess.
It's either Magny. That was Pons' last fight.
I think I felt bad for Kevin Lee because he tore his other ACL. Okay. Like he tore his ACL, obviously overextending the other leg, then tears the other one. It's just like such a mess.
Yeah,
I felt so bad for him.
He's getting better every day. They have this like anti gravity treadmill in there, mm-hmm. and it helps take off some of the weight so you can like walk on it or run on it. Yeah, let me tell you, Kevin Lee, that dude is hilarious.
Seems like he has a good personality for
he's
the
like
most
a big,
part.
He's like a giant kid.
Basically. Right.
But he's nice too. He's super down to earth.
Playing mugs, right?
Seems true. Just don't talk. Wait, nothing about Mike Kiss. I was about to say, just don't talk about his mom.
Yeah, don't talk about his mom.
Don't talk about his mom.
He'll run up and dope you, bro.
Yeah, bro.
You guys remember that scene? He was like, don't talk 100%. About
it. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Somebody hold me back and then runs up.
I like how Kevin Lee was about that life though. He didn't even say anything. Kiesa ran up on him. He just swung on him immediately.
That's what you're supposed to do. Nobody don't never let nobody run up on you. I don't care where we at. I don't care if we got cameras on or not.
That's where I lost respect.
Jorge, no.
Right there.
Jorge,
right there is where I lost respect.
Don't let nobody walk up on you like that, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody hold me back.
Somebody hold me back. The fuck? You ran up on him.
Then he got choked out that fight. Like went fake limp. I think.
But I was trying to like bow my chest. My chest was bowed. It's not a thing, bro. You got to fucking move.
Oh man.
But I think that's it for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We good, boys?
I think we're good.
Good. That's another episode. Two Gloves and a Dub, episode 13. I've been your host, Josh Correa, and we'll see you next week.
Alon, tell the people where they can find you at.
Yeah, tell them where you can find
me. You find me at Alon Cruz, ALONCRUZ, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, LinkedIn.
AKA Betrayal.
Look me up on Google, you'll find me.
Tinder, got you.
Grindr.
All right, I think we're done here, boys. Wow.
All right, and we're out. Thank you for all you lifers. We have merch coming soon. We have another successful episode.
Oh, the promo 13. Code.
Promo code coming soon. Swag coming soon.
Yeah, I thought you had it.
No. We got to get the shirts up first. Once we get the shirts up, we'll be ready. You good.
Wait on that, people. Wait on that.
It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot.
E-E-G-O.